appreciate the privilege to open up the scriptures here at Grace Chapel. And this morning we'll be turning to Revelation chapter 4 and looking at God's throne in heaven. And I was mentioning to a brother before the meeting, I'm not going to come into town and drop a few grenades, some opinions, and then leave. What we want, and if I did, Mark Beebe would set you straight next week anyway. I know Mark real well. In fact, we may do a study on eschatology on end time soon. But I want to look at Revelation chapter 4 and in humility enter into the throne room of God, for the judgment of God is going to come in this world. God is creator. And as creator, we who are creatures are to align ourselves with his will, not our own wills. As we heard in song earlier, and really a quotation of verse 11, of all things were created by him for his pleasure, they were created. And so we want to think about aligning ourselves with the will of God, because those that aren't in alignment with the will of God, there's going to be a solemn judgment to come in the future day. And so let us begin in Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones were 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderclaps and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Peter wrote in his first epistle that the time has come, that judgment must begin with the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? We come into the throne room, a very solemn place. We know that John was given such a privilege of these things. We know in Revelation chapter 1 when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, he was told, write the things which you saw, that speaking of the glory of Christ that he saw, and the things which are, which speaks of that church, chapters 2 and 3, and the things that are about to take place after these things. We have a great hope. Those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself in order to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession. John heard the words of the Lord Jesus that he spoke to the churches. And chapters 2 and 3 are important for us. And those of us that have ears, we should hear what the Spirit says to the churches, because we are to make ourselves ready, not in our own power, in our own merit, but those of us who are believers, genuine believers in the Lord Jesus, we're to allow the Spirit of God to conform us into the image of Christ, that we might be made ready for the marriage of the Lamb. But having said that, there are going to be those that mock, aren't there? Peter wrote in his second epistle, there will be those that say, where is the promise of his coming? But he goes on to say, the Lord's not delaying his promise, as some consider slowness. But he's being patient toward you, because he does not want any to perish, but that all come to repentance. The day of the Lord will be as a thief in the night, and the heavens will disappear with a rushing noise, and the celestial bodies will be destroyed, burned up, and the earth and the deeds done on it will be disclosed. Because all these things are being destroyed in this way, what sort of people must you, must us, be in holy behavior and godliness, while waiting for the hastening and coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed, being burned up, celestial bodies will melt, be consumed by heat. But according to his promise, we're waiting for new heavens and new earth, which righteousness resides. There are those that mock, but this world is going to pass away. This world is but temporal. But we see in Revelation chapter 4 that there is a throne, and there is one who is occupying that throne. We read in chapter 4, verse 1, John said, after these things, after this, I looked. And I guess that's why I would lean that this is more toward future. But after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. An open door in heaven. Think about that for a moment. How is it that there is a door open in heaven? A door open in heaven inviting John up. How is it that a sinful man can enter and approach a holy and righteous and just God? There's a door open, and John was bidden to come. How can this door be opened into the very throne room of God? Well, I would suggest that it is because of the one whom we read in John chapter 10, verse 9, that I am the door. I'm the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There is a door open in heaven because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his person and work, he opened the door that we might enter in. Through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, Christ opens the door of access to us, even into the very throne room of God. This was the privilege that John had. And it is a door that is standing open 24/7. It never closed. It's not going to close, at least in this day, in this age. There will be a day when it will be closed to man, when the judgment of God will come. But the door is standing open for those that would desire to hear his voice, for those that would desire to know more of the glories of the living God. Now, when we think of the, and contrast this with the doors of this world, the doors of this world are always standing open, the doors of entertainment, doors of man's wisdom, doors that want us to come in, say, open, that we might zap our time and our energies as we enter into these things, as we waste our time with things that are not going to profit us, which are going to pass away, that they're going to burn up in a coming day. This world has always bidden us to come. This world's door is open 24/7. But there is a door open in heaven whereby we can enter in and understand more of God and have fellowship with God, that we might enter in and find pasture in the presence of God. And that should be our prayer. Because of the great work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can enter into the very presence of God. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we need to be praying that we would be willing to enter into fellowship, to find pasture in the presence of God, to learn more of the mind and the will of God. Because the opportunity is open for us. Now, there are times in our lives where we shut our own door, don't we? There are times, sometimes we shut our door because of fear. And we remember that the disciples, after the death of the Lord Jesus, they shut the doors for fear of the Jews. But Jesus came unto them. He told them, do not fear. Don't allow doubt to arise in your heart. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. His bodily resurrection. Sometimes we try to close our own door because of fear. Sometimes there might be an issue of sin and we close the door. And I think this is somewhat what we read of in the Church of Laodicea. When we read in Revelation 3 and 20, the Lord Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and him with me. See, God's door is open. But in humility and in grace, we need to walk in the light as he is in the light. John said that in 1 John. Often we don't want to walk in the light. We don't want to enter into a door that might reveal to us who we are. In the depths of our heart. We may have the facade, but the light of God goes deeper. We may not want to have that revealed. But oh, that we would walk in the light as he is in the light, that we might have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is a door open in heaven. And the command goes out to come up here. We read in Revelation 4 and 1 that John heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with him that would say, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That third part of Revelation 1:19. And so immediately John was in the Spirit. And that should be our desire to be in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of God that teaches us the things of God and the things of Christ. And so we read that John was taken up in the Spirit, and he beholds that great throne of God in heaven, a throne set in heaven. Says that very clearly, that a throne was set in heaven, and that throne was and is occupied. One sat on the throne. Now, it's interesting, we won't take time to go into Ezekiel chapter 1, but we have a lot of similarities from the vision that Ezekiel saw when he was in the Spirit, and of the living creatures and so forth, and of the throne of God, and how that throne was on the move. It was on the move, God accomplishing his plans and his program in this world. Here this throne is set in heaven, for the time is about to come to fulfill all, that the kingdom of this world might become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. The day is going to come when the heavens are going to open up. And in chapter 6, we read at the end there that those of this earth, the earth dwellers, are going to behold this holy God seated on the throne. And they will say to mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? The earth dwellers will be dismayed when they see the living God on his throne, seated. John saw this one, I would suggest, the Ancient of Days, seated, even as Daniel saw. And in verse 3, we see that he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardis stone. Probably the jasper a reference to clearness, like a diamond. The sardis probably a reference to red. And here is one who is seated. He holds the scales of justice and truth and renders a righteous verdict. He is the one that we have read and will see. He is the one who is the creator, who is seated on the throne. And he is worshipped, for he has created all things. For his pleasure all things were created. And we read more in what the four living creatures speak of him in verse 8. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come. His holiness, his omnipotence, his eternality. He is holy in his thoughts, in his words, in his action. He has all wisdom, and they worship him for this. He is the omnipotent God, Lord God Almighty. And throughout the book of Revelation, when he's referred as Lord God Almighty, this speaks of how he's about to judge and conquer and take the nations of this earth in Revelation 11 and 15, 16, 19. And so he is the omnipotent one. He's the one who created all things. He is the eternal one who was and is to come. Interesting, when he's referenced in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, referenced as the one, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the one who is. He is the God who is seated on the throne. He is the God who controls all things. He is the God accomplishing his plans and his purposes. Here we read, though, that he is the one who was, before anything was. God is. You couldn't help but think as we sang hymn 9, we sung of the mighty power of God. He is omnipotent. We sing of the goodness of the Lord, and we think of his goodness and of his holiness. We sing of the eternality of the God, because there is not anything of this creation that he didn't create. And it brings him glory. And so this is the one that John saw seated, looked as jasper and sardis stone, the one who is holy, the one who is almighty, the omnipotent one, the one who is eternal. He is the Ancient of Days. And John beholds him, but in this throne room, one is seated on the throne, but we also see that there's a rainbow. It seems that there's an emerald rainbow around the throne. I would think it would be probably vertical around the throne. And I can't help but think of this rainbow and how God judged this world once with the flood. Because God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of man was evil continuously. But here is God seated on his throne, and there is a rainbow, and God looks down and he sees the rebellion and the sinfulness of man. He remembers his promise. He will not judge again with a flood. But he will judge. He will judge by the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in John chapter 5. But there he is on the throne, and he has his rainbow. And horizontally around the rainbow, we have the 24 thrones, the 24 elders that are seated. Now, one grenade I'm not going to throw out is who I think the elders are, although I've already shared that with another brother. But the point, the big idea concerning the 24 elders, concerning the living creatures that we're going to speak of in just a moment. The big idea, first of all, with the elders is they are creatures. And God has allowed them to share in his divine administration here. They are seated in thrones around his throne. And then we read of the living creatures. I think King James refers to them as beasts, but really the thought here is of living creatures. And again, we could get tied up with a lot of speculation about these living creatures. And they're very similar to the cherubim of Ezekiel. And maybe these creatures can change their form because there are differences. But again, the big idea about these living creatures is that their attitude and their actions and their words are in alignment with the one who is seated on the throne, with the one who has created all things. These living creatures seems that they hold up the throne of God. These living creatures, as we have seen, they do not rest, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." They're in alignment with the will of God. This world that we live in, you might say, is in misalignment. It's in rebellion. Why did the nations rage? Why did the peoples imagine a vain thing? In Psalm 2. This world is not in alignment with the will of God. And you remember the disciples' prayer, the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught the disciples to pray. He said, "Pray, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I can't help but think of these living creatures and the 24 elders and how they reverend, how hallowed be the name. "My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. The plans and the promises and the purposes of God be fulfilled in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." But this creation is out of alignment with the will of God, and so we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And may I say to you that that prayer should begin in our own individual heart, that we would be willing to align ourselves in our attitudes, in our actions, in our words, with the will of Him who is seated on the throne. We remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, when in the shadow of that awesome, awesome work that He would do on our behalf on the cross, and there are mysteries there that we can't fully understand and enter in, but He prayed that that cup might pass from Him. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Such were the words of the Lord Jesus, the worthy Lamb of God. And so this should be our desire. It's interesting that concerning the living creatures, it says that they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Well, we know that there are other functions that these living creatures do in the book of Revelation. We know that they call forth after the Lamb of God opens each of the four seals in chapter 6. We know that they call forth those horses which bring the judgment of God into this world. And so we know that they have several functions, several ministries, probably protecting the holiness of God, protecting the throne of God. But it says they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Well, I would suggest when they aren't singing and praising their life, their function, the ministry that the Ancient of Days has given them, they do in light of the holiness, the omnipotence, and the eternality of God. And they are always aligning themselves with His will. And that's as it should be with us. We don't constantly come here and remember the Lord and sing praises to God. We go out in the ministry or with the talents or with the spiritual gifts that we are given. And our attitude should be where we should not rest, but have before us the holiness, the omnipotence, the eternality of God. And in seeing that, we should want to be in alignment with His will. And so we see that the 24 elders and the living creatures are they're in alignment with His will. The scriptures tell us in verse 5 that out of this throne proceed lightnings and thunderclaps and voices. It seems that in our day we have a lot of people that talk about the silence of God. And well, if there is a God in the universe, then why are there so many injustices in the world? And we spoke to that earlier a little bit, how there are those that mock the promise of His coming. But God is long-suffering. And here I would suggest we see that He is about to speak. He is about to right the wrongs. He is about to bring this creation into alignment with His will. For there are lightnings and thunderclaps and voices. We read of the seven torches of fire before the throne in verse 5, which are the seven spirits of God, that perfect, that complete, that Holy Spirit that moves among men, that moved in the early church, that gave power of miracles, that gave and revealed to the apostles and those under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that they provided for us the scriptures that we have today. The Holy Spirit and its perfections that illuminates our own hearts as we study the scriptures and we ask the Spirit of God to teach us the things of God. For we cannot discern them on our own and in our own strength and in our own power. We need to be yielded to the Spirit of God within us. We need not quench the Spirit. This Spirit of God that convicts the world. The Spirit of God that shows forth before the throne as torches, not to be put out, impossible to extinguish. This Spirit that convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. The sin of man that falls so far short of God's righteousness. And judgment's going to come for those out of alignment with the will of God. This Spirit of God who is transparent and reveals the things of Christ and of God. It's not like many of the governments we know. They try to keep everything in the dark. They try to keep what's going on away from the people that they might not see. This happens often. Not so with God. God is open. He's transparent. It's right here in the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is there to illuminate the hearts of men. But sadly, so many close the door to these things. We read also of a sea of glass like crystal, and thinking of these things, and I don't want to get into possibilities. Perhaps there is a thought here of cleansing and of the laver and the molten sea before Solomon's temple. And there must be cleansing before one can come into the throne room, before one can come into the very presence of God. We referenced earlier, there's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that keeps on cleansing us from all of our sin. We think of this great throne room with the rainbow, with the 24 elders on thrones, with the four living creatures, with the seven lamps of fire burning, with the sea of glass. We see, John saw all of this. And in light of this great vision that John saw and shared with us under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have to ask the question, and in fact the question can't help but be answered as we look at these things. Whose right is it to rule? It is the one who is seated on the throne. It's his right to rule. He's created all things. All things were created by him for his pleasure. And so it's incumbent on us to align ourselves with his will. And a holy God says, get in alignment with my will. But we can't do it, can we? We curse. We run after blood. None of us are righteous. We're like sheep that go astray. None of us can usurp God's throne. It has been tried, of course. Prophet Isaiah spoke of that one referred to as Lucifer, son of the morning, who said in his heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Such were the words of this creature who refused to align himself with the will of God. In Isaiah, it is reference of this one. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Well, how can we align ourselves with such a holy and a righteous God who demands obedience, who demands perfection, and we're a disobedient people? We fall short. Well, we're thankful for the one who not only created all things, we're thankful for the one who provided a redeemer. We saw this morning this worthy one, this lamb, freshly slain lamb, who willingly went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. This one redeems us. This one aligns us with the will of God. We can't do it ourselves, but he is the open door. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Yes, we can enter in to the very throne room of God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that all judgment has been committed into his hands. In John 5:21, just as the Father raises the dead and makes them alive, thus also the Son makes alive whomever he wishes, for the Father does not judge anyone, but has given all judgment to the Son, He went on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that the one who hears my word and believes the one who sent me, this one enthroned, he who hears my word and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." How can we not help but worship and praise and give adoration to this one who created all things? We read of the worship of the living creatures. We read that when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him that is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, we see that then there is worship of the elders. There's order in worship, isn't there? The 24 elders fall down before Him that is seated on the throne. And they worship Him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns in humility and reverence. And notice what they declare: "Thou art worthy," even as we sung earlier this morning, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." But we're thankful that we're not like the angels, are we? The angels aren't redeemed as we are. What is it that hymn goes, or the song, I don't hear it often, but how the angels fold their wings and they will never know the joy that our salvation brings. Thankful that we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, His work on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and He is seated at God's right hand until His enemies be made His footstool. All things were created by Him. They were created for His pleasure. Therefore, it is incumbent upon man to align himself with the will of the Creator. And of course, we're sinners, and our only hope is in the worthy one, the righteous one, the Lord Jesus. A holy, omnipotent, eternal God requires that His standards be met. Oh, may we as Christians live in light of that. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, may that be our true north, that we might be obedient to the will of our Creator, knowing that we have a good shepherd. A good shepherd who is the door of the sheepfold, who laid down His life for the sheep. And we can enter in and we can find pasture and we can know more of the things of God, all because of what the Lord Jesus has done on our behalf. But for anyone who has never trusted the Lord Jesus, judgment is coming. It's coming. Because a holy, an all-powerful, an eternal God judges His creatures that are out of alignment with His will. Judgment is coming. And the heavens will open, and the earth dwellers will be dismayed in fear. But it will be too late. He will inflict judgment on the unrighteous. But we are thankful that there is a way, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We're thankful that there is one who is worthy in Revelation chapter 5. And we give him all the praise. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, you've never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment is coming. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved.